Blog Talk Radio.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow, wow, yippee yo, yippee yo. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow, wow, yippee yo, yippee. And once again, the technology of the universe has conspired to broadcast yet another adventure of Naked Summer's Riff on this.
That's right.
It is I, Dr. Mark, and is it poolside tonight? Or is it just a bucket of water?
That's right. That was just the toilet bowl flushing on the...
I see. Well.
Yeah, no. Not by the pool. It's too hot outside.
I see. Well, it is August 8th, 8-8-07. So next year, this will be the day everyone wants to circle 8-8-08, you know. I don't know what it
That's
means,
right.
But, you know, as far as we know, it's just the middle of XO week, and the suspicions are running wild all over the universe. So we are going to be taking apart another summer tonight. But before we do that, I'll just give you the number here again, because we love your kind, considerate contributions at 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847. Anytime you want to dial up and ask any question you got about what we're talking about or what the heck we do, because we'd like to figure that out tonight on the air, actually. We have a lot of internal combustion going on. I'll just give you guys a little brief history of how we got to this point in time while we're waiting for the Philo to parachute in, if he's joining us in the first half hour or not. We have a third partner in this company who lives in New Hampshire. His name is Dr. Chip Thurman. He's a philo, which means it's all about the relationship. So when he comes in, you know, it's usually overcoming several obstacles to get here. And since he doesn't get here at the beginning of the show, he kind of comes in whenever the whack-a-mole process ends up there for the evening. So, you know, if I'm talking and or Val's talking and he comes in, just we'll kind of restart the show at that point. To kind of update him on what we've been talking about. So how we got to this point, I guess the best way to do it is, you know, the Blog Talk Radio Show started back in I guess, early June, late May, around there, when we discovered this little technology here. And really, outside of the first couple of days, we were just getting our account opened up. It's been pretty reliable every week, and we haven't been as far as getting on the air, but it's been. And I really, I look at this as the front door of our organization, because our aspirations are pretty simple. We want to be Yapsters. What is a Yapster? Well, what music was to Napster, where we started to share music files on the web, we're sharing information, and we're doing it in a way that is entertaining, hopefully, and provocative. Those two things are always going to be present when I open my mouth or Val opens hers, and I guess Jeb's there to calm us down, you know. So the content that we put together is not meant to be heady. It's not meant to be overwhelming. It's meant to be purposely disruptive, I guess is the phrase that pays there, so that you hear it and you go, what do they mean by that? And it's to make you stop the train of thought that you're on and the train that you've been conditioned to stay on, and to get you to open up. And that's really what the title of the show and our sister site, NakedSoma.com, is all about, is to teach you how to open up your identity, to be more fluid in the way you express yourselves, because we're creatures of habit, and some of these habits limit us into what we can experience and what we can design for ourselves. And one of the things that made us open our eyes as a group is an article that came out a couple years ago in, I think it was Wired magazine, top of my head, and it was talking about, it was a business magazine, it's on the site if you can find it, which one it was, it might be Wired, I don't know. And really what the title said, everything, change or die. And it made us think. It made us say, well, what is this about people changing that is so difficult? And it turns out that after the age of 30, after you've had an adult brain for about 5 years, there's a 90% chance that the habits you formed in a variety of areas are going to be with you the rest of your life. It's very difficult to change those patterns, the way you eat, the way you deal with stress, your relationship with things like alcohol and nicotine, just to name a few. And that's why we've seen in the last 20, 30 years or so, sort of an overwhelming amount of self-help stuff come up, because as the boomers got older, they needed more help because they couldn't change. And now we're seeing it happen in generations below that, because they're being raised in an environment where they develop these habits earlier and earlier. And so we're seeing, just across the board socially, this sort of stuckness, I guess is what you call it. And around us, swirling around us, is constant change. I mean, even a technology like Blog Talk Radio didn't exist, at the beginning of the year. I think this stuff started like in mid-spring. So all these new things, all these new ways to communicate, and the same, flesh bot walking around, human being, and trying to absorb all these things. I think since we got on the air, Val's added about 5 different technical tools to her arsenal up there.
Oh, yeah.
There's the headphones we talked about last week that she can walk around the house and still hear the TV.
Those things are the best.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Of course, there's the GPS system she added when she moved up to the Ponte Rosa,
mm-hmm.
which has become her her most reliable friend to get her from place to place. A couple other things you've got. We just added something to the site this week, so you guys, if you haven't seen it, over on the somaspace.org, there's a live chat link now where that goes right to her AIM account, so that if you have questions about what we're talking about during the show, she could be in there chatting with you while we're talking. So she got that technology. And she's got a giant wooden giraffe that her mom likes.
That was a wooden giraffe. That thing is the coolest looking thing.
You know
what else I do have, though, since I got up here?
What's that?
I've got a cable service.
Yes, barely.
That absolutely sucks.
Well, if you're a Comcast
just
customer.
Give a shout out there.
Yeah, if you're a Comcast customer in that county up there, you might want to go by and kick the door in. They're not exactly on the ball in the country, as it were.
No, that's right. Shout out to Comcast.
Yeah,
get my internet working before I lose my mind.
So, going full circle. So she's got all these things, and then if her cable goes out, she's just like one of us, an irate customer. I am irate, man.
Yeah,
so,
man.
And, of course, I'm down here with my ridiculous computer and all my other things. So it's XO Week, so we were talking about being kind to technology and being, almost in a human relationship with your computers and your radios and things like that, because this is a very obvious thing. If you wake up in the morning, you're in that environment very quickly. You're on the web, you're on the TV, you're listening to the radio, you're putting on your iPod, now they got iPhones. So there's a lot of ways that technology will be delivering you good information, entertaining information, frivolous information. And, we talked about it last week when we were discussing Tim Ferriss's book, this whole idea of a low-information diet and being able to walk away from the email, for example. He's got a lot of stats on his site as I surf over there about email. That is amazing when you think about it, how much time we spend or waste looking at that. And it's something that the whole generation from, teenagers through college students have pretty much looked at email as like what the old people do, because they text chat and they IM, and they don't look at email as a place to really interact anymore, because it's so you get so much of it that you don't need. Their mentality is only for certain things, and that's why the evolution of the social network online has been growing through leaps and bounds, and You've seen, you know, Facebook and MySpace, those other things just kind of almost erupt online in the last 3 or 4 years. Not so much because it was things we didn't have. We had that stuff before, but they were bulletin boards and they were slower and they were less interactive and they weren't as dynamic and you couldn't paint the picture about yourself that you can on a MySpace page. And I mean, now you've got political candidates up there. You've got everything up there. I mean, celebrities look at this as a way to talk to their fans without having to go through the filters anymore. So there's a lot to be said for the human side of all this connectivity, if you call it that. And I don't believe it. Ah, thank you, God. Chipper Jones, one of my nemesis on the Braves, just hit a ball to the wall, and Millage caught it, so two out. He named his kid Shea because he's hit 50 home runs in my stadium from the other team. So hating him is not easy. Not hard to do. I mean, he's a God. I can't stand him. That swing. He has that swing. He swings and he just. It's like he just took a load in his bedroom. See? Look what I did. 410 feet and they caught it. Anyway, Mets lead 1-0 in the fourth inning. So let me see if I can find those stats about the email. They're kind of cool. While we're waiting to get going here on some of this other stuff. Looking around. He's got all these stats, FYI stats. Maybe I should have found this before, eh? All right, I'll keep looking.
You know, eco is as eco does.
Yeah, I'll keep looking. You keep talking. So we're going to be talking about an exo tonight that you may or may not have heard of, but you should be aware of the guy because he's sort of the modern-day version of what Timothy Leary was in the 60s to the drug culture. The guy we're going to be talking about tonight, the exo soma star of tonight's show is Ken Wilber. And he's a guy that if you want to feel dumb, read anything he writes for about 3 lines and your hair will hurt the first time you encounter him, because he speaks in, and I crowned him the Mapster on the blog, on the nakedsoma.blogspot.com, the show blog, because one of his contributions that we're going to be talking about in a minute to the whole scene is that he's been able to take a topic that no one could stick a fork in, consciousness, and create the most elaborate, an intricate map you've ever seen, and reduce it to a fourfold type of presentation so anyone can get it and learn from this thing. And he's a guy that studied pretty much every culture's way of communicating about this topic of consciousness, and he created what can only be called like a periodic table of all these different systems and thoughts. Unbelievably smart guy, but exo from the post office. I mean, he's like, if you want to just look at the picture there, he's a guy that is very content to just know. And that's why his whole demeanor, his whole MO has always been exo. And only in the last, 8-10 years or so, has he really opened up and become what we call a soma star, someone who's using all 4 domains to express themselves rather than just their primary one. That they internalized during development. So we'll get going on that. As I'm still looking around for these, oh, here's the stats, the truth it's called. All right, so back on the Tim Ferriss email thing, just a couple of these things. 66% of people read emails 7 days a week and expect to receive a response the same day. So there's two-thirds of the people doing that one. 61% check it while they're on vacation. 56% get anxiety if they can't access their email.
That would be me.
Oh, yeah, I'm there. And last year, the Webster's College Dictionary coined the phrase crackberry because of all the blackberry addiction that the students are going through. Millions of users are now unable to go more than 5 minutes without checking email because of the crackberry addiction. It's pretty wild. 41% of Americans check email first thing in the morning. 18% check it after dinner. 14% check it when they get home from work. 14% more check it before they go to bed. And 40% have checked their email in the middle of the night. That's pretty much 24/7. And how about these stats? This is pretty funny. More than one in four, 26%, say they can't go more than 2 or 3 days without checking email. And they check it everywhere. In bed, 23% are checking their email in bed. In class, 12%. Now, you've seen that at school. Business meetings, 8%. Beach or pool, 6%. In the baño, in the bathroom, 4%. While driving, checking the email, 4%. And finally, in church, 1%.
Well, I wouldn't be doing that, but
that's pretty funny.
I have somebody in chat here telling me that that's her too. She gets anxiety if she can't check her mail.
So, yeah, well, like I said, this is our information. Our information diet is so high. We need to have that sense of a back and forth going on with all these technologies because we're so used to the one-way technologies from previous generation. We're just broadcast at you, and you can just turn it off. Now we have these two-way technologies where we always seem to have this back and forth going here. So there was an IQ test given at King's College in London in 2005, okay? Three groups. First did nothing but the IQ test. The second was distracted by email and ringing phones. And the third was stoned on pot. Not surprisingly, the first group did better than the other two by 10 points. The emailers did worse than the stoners by an average of 6 points.
Oh, man.
How's that for a stat? Right. So why do we need all this email contact? Well, the United States, only the average vacation time is 13 days a year. And this guy out now. Okay. See, I'm multitasking. In Italy, you get 42 days off. In France, 37. In Germany, 35. Brazil, 34. See, you know, just a couple of other countries. Where even Japan, 25 days off a year. We're getting 13. And then what? 60-something percent of us are checking the email on vacation. So who are we kidding? We're so saturated with the interactivity of the new media that the EXO. System that was developed for a very talkative country that likes to stay on the phone. You know, then they gave us a mobile phone, they gave us a cell phone, they gave us Bluetooth. It's almost at the point where we can't shut up, and here we are on Blog Talk Radio, which is another medium to get information from A to B. And the underbelly of this is that Americans work 137 more hours than Japanese workers, 260 more than British, and almost 500 more hours than French workers. We don't live any longer.
Hey, ho.
So.
Hey.
And on cue. Here he is. All right.
On cue.
So,
I got to let you know, I got Shanghai tonight, and I'm cellular, and I've got to keep it really quick because we're at a function at a little party here, and pregnant wife is here, and I can't be gone.
She out of the house? She's out of the house? She's outdoors with this thing? She's gonna be.
We're up the hill. There was a dinner I was unaware of, so I am here, and I didn't want to bail on you guys totally, so I want to call in and check in. And
well, thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
All right,
where are we?
We were just looking at some stats about email and technology addiction and the whole low information diet thing. We were kind of dovetailing back to last week, talking about a little bit about Ferris's stuff. So segueing into Uber Exo Ken Wilber over there, as I'm calling him the Mapster. Just if you haven't seen it on the blog, he's a guy. I mean, the intro that I saw from Integral Institute said he's written 22 books. The wiki page. Said he's written over 25. Who knows? The guy's constantly writing books. He's got a new book coming out now. He just had one coming out last year about spirituality. Now he's got one called The Integral Vision. So everything with him is about this topic called the integral approach to things. And
he really changes it that much, or is it all?
Well,
I mean, is he really writing 25 different books about different subjects, or is it like 25 books that he could have written? Not that they're not a different slant on it, but it's like. Doesn't he sort of repeat the same thing, but just apply it to a different concept or a different principle?
Well, Wilber's mindset—he's a software guy, you know, from the old school from the 70s. So what we're looking at now is what he calls Wilber 5.0. He's had yeah, it's true. He's had in his book.
Hey, you're a three man.
Yeah, exactly. He's always upgrading his what he calls integral operating system, is iOS, which is his way of expressing his model, and he's gone from things like the nine chains of being and a lot of ancient technology into these aqua things he's done down the last couple of years, which is all quadrants, all lines, all levels, and it's done into the mindset of what's called holons, which is akin to a soma, where it's a whole and a part, like a soma is a whole and a part of an environment and an organism. A holon is a whole and a part of anything. It's just it's an abstraction. So his whole deal, and he's a philosopher. I mean, he's not going to mince words with it. But his thing is that he came from the transpersonal side of psychology, where most of psychology was dealing with what was going on inside the person. He was dealing with things that went on above and beyond that individual and what shaped them. So, transpersonal psychology came from the Jungian side more than the Freudian side, and Val could speak to this more than me. But he left that community out in California and got into this movement called the Integral Approach probably about 10 or 15 years ago, and now he's included and transcended the transpersonal people and got into this other technology that he's talking about now, which is called the Integral Methodological Pluralism, if you can handle all that, which for us, for our purposes, is just he's come all the way back around and he's talking about, there's only 8 patterns. Octal coding. So now he's going around and getting into the neurobiology of all the abstract stuff he's been writing about for about 25 years. And, that's why, I put the clip on there, him stopping his brain waves and all that other fun stuff. He's getting into that loop of it and blending it with this whole cross-cultural stuff he's done with spirituality, saying that he's a guy that's interested in consciousness, interested in talking about it in a structured way, using the language correctly, and he's a real, work cop with that stuff. If you're just starting from tomorrow and you're going to go up to one of the sites like Integral Naked and take a listen to him, he gives you, you're saying, he does repeat himself. There is a foundation, so it's almost like you got to go through the lead tape if you've been used to him for a while. He always does the introduction. It's almost like an English teacher that starts with teaching you the alphabet, even if you're in 12th grade. So you walk in, it's like, okay, here's the consonants, here's the vowels, and it's like, after an hour and a half, you finally get to the 12th grade level of the English language. He's a guy that says, I'd rather teach you the whole thing, and that's what Integral is. It's comprehensive and all that, than teach you pieces and make you fill in the blanks with a whole bunch of misinformation, which he's very big on. So that's why his attitude and approach to things has become much more open soma, naked soma in the last 10 or 15 years, because he's had to get out of his mentality of just using his books to get his message out because of the advent of the Internet. And he's a big YouTube guy. He's all over the YouTube. And his other site, Integral Naked, which, we're naked soma, he's Integral Naked, is all about interviewing these big thinkers, as he calls them, that are shaping the new level of consciousness, which doesn't look at things from just an egocentric or an ethnocentric standpoint, but more of a world-centric standpoint. So, yeah, he gets involved in political stuff, and he gets involved in the global warming discussions and all that stuff. But he always goes back to what he calls integral life practice, which I have on the site here. And it's the saturation thing. It's engaging every level of body, emotion, mind, soul, and spirit to bring about transformation of consciousness. That's all he's interested in. He was in part of the Matrix box set, the 10 hours of the Matrix, and him sitting there with, what's his name? I want to say Kingan West. That's the other guy, though, the philosopher guy. Discussing the symbology of the Matrix and how it brought about integration of body, mind, and spirit. He's also very into shadow talk lately. He's talked about that's the part of psychology that no one really has been able to tame, is this whole idea of a shadow. Well, because of his four quadrants, he's able to talk about the shadow in terms of the way they set up in this format he's put out. So the reason why I wanted to discuss him, and we've got a couple minutes here with Jeb, is that here's a classic example of a guy who does not want to be social, wrote his books, stayed on his mountain, didn't talk to anyone, meditated, and basically did not want to go out and promote. And he became sort of a cult phenomenon because his books were not academic. His books were plain-spoken stuff, but very deep and very heady. Now, if you're in the 70s and 80s, then people were reading those heady kind of books. That's where he got his popularity, and he would pursue the artists and things like that, and he's written, editorial parts of a lot of different books. Holographic Paradigm comes to mind. And that's where I always found him. He's always poking his nose at us. Who's this Wilbur guy? And only in the last, 5 or 6 years have I really got a taste of his the other domains he has, because he's been so reclusive. and so hard that it's like, you know, trying to pry open a clam with a crowbar. You're not getting in there. But his secondary domains, and maybe you could speak to this as a firewall. When you get in front of an exo who just gives you nothing, you know, what is your way of connecting with someone like that interpersonally? How would you go about it?
I have to find commonality with them. So, you know, I always go back to my practice. If I have an exo who's, you know, all very, very matter-of-fact, a lot of times I'm trying to look for... Are they really stone cold exo and they can't get, they don't have any other, you know, they can't go into another domain, or they may be a little scared or a little bit, you know, in that setting, very times they're threatened, so they're going to come real exo and maybe leaving a little bit onto. So if I can either allay their fears, or, you know, with Philo, it's always about connect. So how can I connect with this person? Which I guess that's your question, is when it seems like you can't, but it's kind of finding what's their fear and what's the commonality, even if it's asking them about something that I have no interest in or very little knowledge in, but because I see the badge on their chest or the you know, maybe the Star Trek you know, sticker on their binder, maybe it's I ask them about something that I know they're interested in. I have a couple in my, I'll give you a great example. A couple of exos in my practice, I always ask them questions about the computer. Even if they're not even tech guys, I just ask them, and they always have the answers for me. And that breaks the ice right there. And now I have a relationship, and that's what we talk about whenever we come. That becomes our small talk. Mm-hmm. So it's always going to what I know is going to be interesting to them, which isn't, you know, uncommon to do with anybody, but knowing their exo, I know sort of on the grid of things to ask them about. I'm certainly not going to ask them about, you know, I don't know, if they went to a Beanie Baby convention, you know, it's going to be something that's going to be more exo in its.
Just as a way to just kind of give you guys a bumper sticker on this, it's the inverse of an onto in the sense that facts over fiction. Where an onto, it's all about their fiction, it's all about their story, their version of events, and you have to line up with that, otherwise you basically, the conversation is going to be cut off pretty quick. Where an exo, one fact leads to another, like pulling the thread of a sweater. So when you ask them, what do you know about blank, it's like clicking, you know, an icon on the desktop, and they're going to open up the whole file. And that's where they feel most comfortable, is when they're talking about data, facts, information, relevant stuff that to them seems practical and simple, because it's organized, it's ready to hand you. It's not in the R&D stage, it's not a bunch of ingredients, it's a cake. Here, this is what I got. So they deal in that mentality. They think in terms of the whole thing and how the whole thing relates to whatever you're talking about. So it's very difficult to whittle them down to details that to them seem less stable. So that when you're talking to an exo, the fact is king, and inside the fact, the detail is sort of the tent peg. It's not something that they like to talk about. They just assume it's there. So
what's funny is when you hit that thing, like when I, you know, when I ask them that question, that that button that finally clicks the icon, and you see the little hourglass, and all of a sudden you see the light in their eyes come on. The funny thing is that you're going to get a bunch of data, and they're going to go off, and they're going to give you way more. At least for me, they give me way more than I really want, way more than I'm interested in. But then after, they get almost a little teeny bit embarrassed. There's always this moment where they'll get a little teeny bit embarrassed, and then they start filing. And it's like, well, you know, if you have any more questions, you know, you can call me, or if you really, you know. So then it becomes kind of cute because I click them, I get their hot button, they dump, but then they sense that maybe they, you know, went more overboard. But then because they got the little bonding going, now I'm kind of like their buddy, and now I get the invitation in. So it's really it's a real good example of how that how it opens up their soma a little bit to get them to bond for that moment.
And it's kind of like the Cliff Clavin thing. It's like, you know, they can get into a tangent where they just the only thing they have a value to share is trivial information. So it's like reining them in is a key, because, again, these are not socially skilled people. It's only 9% of the population. They love being behind the scenes. They love being removed from human contact. They love their technology. If you're a fan of the John Cincinnati show on HBO, they call him the Hair Whip. I don't even know what his real name is as a character.
Dwayne.
Blaine, okay. And what's Wayne? Okay. I can't even tell hear his name. And it's like if his eyes are not glued to the desktop, he's disoriented. And when you get into someone who's a closed soma that's an exo, that's what you get into where Val would come in, like with the Asperger kids and things like that, that they seem like they're in the room, but unlike an eco who is having a good time floating around, the exo is disoriented and would love to go back to something that's task-based and literal and something that they can stick a fork in, because when they start dealing with abstractions like what Anthos do, it's like they get very nervous because they can't organize that. They can't control emotions. They can't control someone's belief. It's like, to them, it's like, why would you think that way? And it's, you know, in terms of the classic model, it's like the typical scientist type would be exo in the way that they perceive, because it's a very deliberate, exact way of doing things. But it's also, in and of itself, it gives you information, it gives you a product, but it doesn't give you any depth, because there is no interior with an exo. They don't let you in. That's what's different about Wilbur over there, because all of his efforts to study consciousness has been about opening up the interior of the individual, especially the shadow part lately, and being able to talk about it, and being able to talk about it in a way that is not laced with all that emotion and garbage and gunk that makes it just about that person, but makes it about humanity as a whole, because that's the way he thinks. So, you know, that's sort of like the reason why, you know, looking at him as a soma star, is that no matter where you start reading his work, whether it's stuff online or one of his books or an article he writes, he gives you the template every single time. So that if you're used to him, you just skip through it. And if you're not, you go, oh. So it's almost like, you know, you get the old software came with those, like, 1,000-page manuals. That's sort of the way he thinks. It's like, I got to read you the 1,000-page manual every time. You can't just get a piece of Wilbur. You're going to get the entire thing every single time. And that's what makes him exhausting. To most philos, if you go out and to Boulder, where his community is, community on the compound, Integral Institute, all these bald exos running around praying to him. There's hardly a philo in sight. I mean, you might see a philo that's like, you know, in town or something, but there's not a lot of groupies that are going to hang around him and feel that human stuff very long. And what happens, of course, if you put two exos in a room, they will philo very quickly because they have a lot of common ground, and they'll bond over the information and bond over their like-mindedness. But with him, with Wilbur specifically, he doesn't ever let that difference fade away. No matter when you see him on a video or on a YouTube situation, it's almost like he's behind plexiglass no matter what you do. I've never seen him, you know, come out of that cage, and maybe if you see him live, that would happen. But interacting with his community the last 2 years or so, I think it's sort of like, you know, policy. And he busted his arm so bad a couple of years ago that he almost died. He has a rare genetic disorder, and you know, his cells, his mitochondria doesn't work too well on his cells. And it was a real touch and go thing there. He had like a pseudo stroke and all kinds of other things going on, and it was like 3 months later, he's back working. He's fine. He recovers from injury like a cyborg. Like, okay, there I am. I think if he did take his face off, you would see Westworld. It would be like, you know, a bunch of gizmos and stuff. So he has that.
But you know, if you like, you know, I just wanted to comment. Before I go is if he was there with another exo bonding, the philo in the room wouldn't really be able to bond there though, because I thought that was a good point of distinction, and how fluid these things are, because you got two exos primary domain who are there going to bond and be philoing, but a philo in the room still would be kind of locked out of that. He may see the bonding going on, but it would be again like a plexiglass bubble around them, because he wouldn't have the information to share with them to be able to really bond in the same way, and they would know it. Even if he had the information, it would be very difficult for him to truly bond, because it wouldn't be deep enough for like the exos would be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they don't offer the depth. See, they're not kinesthetic. They're visual and they're external in the way that they process. So if you talk in pictures and talking in like street signs to them, they'll stay with you. But if you start talking about how you feel about that street sign or what goes on in your body, it's like if you're not giving information that's accurate about what could go on in your body, could go on in mine, if you don't correspond, the exo says, well, that's not universal, that's not That's not a cosmic orientation. They like the satellite photo. They hate the, you know, weather in your backyard kind of a thing. They look at that as relativism, and he makes a distinction about relative versus absolute consciousness all the time, and he talks about big mind and things like that, and non-dual mind. So he gets into the nuts and bolts of this from a language standpoint, because he just says, look, if we don't change the map and make the map better, it's just going to repeat itself the next generation. That's why he's adopted things like spiral dynamics and things like that. So, but we know Jeb's got to go, so why don't you give us your tip earlier today, and we'll get that out to people this week. So you got your tip handy there to share? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
I got it right here on the tip of my tongue.
Just take your tip out. There you go.
The tip of the week is looking for the exo in you. So it's the common theme here of my tip of the week is always, you know, trying to find what domain you're in, what's your primary, who are you, and it's trying to identify as we're in the exo week, when is it that you find that you're exoing? So you know, is it like for me? If it's if I'm upset, I'm gonna exo because that then I don't have to get. There's no worry about getting in another fight with somebody. You know, if Nora hurts my feelings or I get my feelings hurt, I'll just start doing. I'll clean the house because that becomes an activity that's safe. So just think about when you're going through the week. When you're you know, when are you exoing? And just it's again this whole concept here is to try to be more open. So you got to recognize when you're doing it in order to know you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. That makes a lot of sense. All right. So we will release you to barbecue and delights and best to Nora and the baby's on the way. And I guess we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Have fun,
thanks.
Jeb.
Bye.
Thanks, Val. Bye.
And the double beeps, the Philo departs the skies. Wow. All right. So, you know, I like when he comes in and gives that Philo perspective because we're two ecos and we could care less about Philo's perspective, to tell you the truth. We almost get,
yeah.
It's almost like asking like a woodland creature, you know, because it's like one of the things that cracked me up. Bill Maher did a special on HBO, I don't know if you've seen it, but he talks about stress and he says, you know, all this anti-stress, you know, marketing that goes on. And he says, have you ever seen a squirrel in the wild? It's a nervous wreck. You know, like, so there is no calm in the wild. People think, oh, if I'm going to get back to my biological roots, everything's going to be calm. No, it's a cauldron of survival codes that are down there. It's only us with our dopey little gray matter up there that think that we can just shut all that off and delete it. And exos have actually unplugged a lot from, you know, the lower part of their development because, again, they're coming in at their fourth year when they could start to step out of time a little bit. I mean, if you had that much freedom, and the other domains don't necessarily, they're not able to do it. They don't have the neurology for it. When you're 4 years old, you can predict or you can plan for your future, and you can remember your past. So you have a strategy that's opened up. You're not stuck in the present like the other three domains are to the degree and extent that they pay attention to themselves. So that's why start talking about change or die, top of the show, is that once you're a 30-year-old exo who's had, you know, an adult brain that's been just taught over and over again that what's inside is unshareable, unknowable, unnecessary, you know, and they start having emotions and feelings and all this social stuff that everybody else has been awash with for their whole lives, you see a lot of exos in their 30s and 40s getting extremely, like the woodland creature, nervous wrecks because their anxiety goes up because they're outside of their familiar place to be all the time, and they never developed the secondary domains to support it, where someone like Wilbur, who didn't go to college, didn't go to the traditional route, he literally went on a quest and visited all these countries and then got into the, you know, the meditation and visited the Tibetan Buddhists and the Lamas and wrote the books about it. So he got his domains moving with his feet. And then he sat down and up on a mountain up there in outside of Denver and wrote all these books to document that. That's why, you know, Wilbur 5.0 and what the hell is that. But it's a way for him to talk about his journey in a very structured, predictable way because his models changed as the information's changed. And he's always included the previous stuff and just upgraded it. And it's sort of like, you know, if you look at your beliefs from 20 years ago, some of them have changed, but how would you communicate that? He gives you a language to do that. That's why all of his things that are out there now, if you look at them on the blog and, you know, take a look at Ken Wilber as a force in the culture, he's always been a guy that's been underneath and behind the scenes of a lot of the other predominant guys, like, you think like Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is a good friend of his. Yeah, Stephen Covey. All these guys that are writing the popular books that are out on the shelves took the Wilber 2.0, 3.0, 4.0 and kind of cross-pollinated and then made it more shareable, more philo-y for the audience. So that's why now that he's out there doing what they used to do and promoting himself, he had to do that as an open soma. He had to develop signatures in the other domains, and he's doing it more and more as he goes. And like I said, he's never really had to worry about the ecos, because the content is consciousness and nirvana and spirituality, and that's like kandi to an eco. So he's never had to really struggle with that. But he always had to fight the religious barriers and the scientific barriers between the ontos and the philos, so that's always been his sort of his electric fence to get through. And it's been probably about 10-15 years of him, you know, kind of digging his way through that. And the books that have come out the last couple of years have been really much more on target. That's why if you want to get his books now, you're not going to read anything different than he wrote in the 80s in the first parts of the book, because he feels like his message hasn't been out there to the populace yet. Only the loyalists that knew him you know, in the 80s would know that stuff. So he's always doing that review and writing these, like, you know, 900-page books. So that's Ken Wilber. And like I said, you know, now we've covered two of these guys, and I wanted to make sure, like, every week we're going to be looking at one of these different soma stars and what their strategy is to take what was core to them, what was natural to them, and to unfold and acquire these new signatures as they aged, as they matured. Because really, the essence of universal somatics is not about going through the quick fix and just getting relief from stress or whatever. It's really about saying, I'm going to be on this flying rock for about 80, 85 frickin' years. And over the course of that, I'm going to go through setbacks and fits and starts and disappointments and upsets and losses, really deep losses. And how am I going to have a strategy for that if I don't know any other aspect of my identity except for what I figured out before I was five? So that's one of the reasons why, you know, this work will always be there to you for you to go back to at different points in time. But if you don't sort of take this thing to heart now, not only will it bite you in the arse, it will kick you down the street and use you up like a cheap soup, because, like we said, after 30, 90% chance the habits you formed are going to be stuck like glue to your neurons till you are basically, you know, plant food.
Yeah, so, that's a tough one.
Like I said, I love it that it's that stark. I love it that it's that plain and simple. It is an exo fact that kind of nails you to the ground and says, okay, fine, don't deal. That's why we have, what's the addiction recovery rate? You know, 20%?
Not good.
20% maybe, yeah.
Bringing that up to my students, because they're right in that, you know, right before 25 range,
mm-hmm.
and they listen to it.
Yeah, and to act on it and to make it part of your life, that's why, you know, Wilber put together his integral operating system, the IOS, and now he's talking about life practices, and he's talking about being more pluralistic in the way that you relate to the world. Don't just take what your culture gave you as the only way. He's opening us up to what's going to become the dominant mode, because, like, I take my daughter, for example, who's an Anto, who now speaks three languages, and she's, you know, she's 11, and it's not because of that, you know, she's smarter than the other kids. She developed an aptitude for difference rather than sameness early on. It's a big meta pattern that we have. There's about 20, 22, 23 of those meta programs that the brain has. If you feed that early, you feed that filter early, and your brain becomes a difference engine, it's an exception type of thing, it develops a strategy where it's going to take information not just at face value, but it's going to turn it around, it's going to look underneath, it's going to look to contrast it and make it more three-dimensional so that you can embody it and it can become part of you. And that's really what you know, he's talking about. But of course, most of his audience is going to be out of college. They're in that middle age, you know, kind of dip, where they're saying, well, how do I get from here to the next phase of my life? when I've got all this baggage I didn't deal with when I was, you know, 20, 22, 23, 25 years old. So that's why somatics, the whole culture of somatics, was born of the fact that the average age of living your life was being extended through all the other things that came up in the 60s and 70s. And we didn't have a culture that embraced the elderly, or we still don't, really. And that's why it's like, well, how are we going to age gracefully if we don't know how to shift our attention about our lives as we get beyond the age of 20, 25? Because, you know, you look at celebrities, you know, you don't see a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff on them. Once they hit a certain point, they just go off the radar. You might see some of the older stars, like a De Niro or some, hanging around, but by and large, 80-90% of who's popular is under 30 years old, you know. We keep a couple around, like a Letterman or something like that. But for the most part, it's going to be, you know, that culture out in Hollywood that you see going in and out of rehab all the time, because their brains are fried. And a lot of them, unfortunately, don't know how to XO anything except legal papers and prenups and things like that. So, All right. So 845. The number again: 646-478-4847. You can hop on and give your 2 cents on Ken Wilber. If anyone's read one of his books, I'd like to hear, especially some of the new ones, what you think of that, because the opinions of his books, if you go on Amazon and check out the comments, that even the comments give you a headache, because again, they got to repeat, you know, and it's almost like they're playing like the research paper. Oh, in this book here, citing this page there, they're exo commentaries. It's hilarious. And Chipper Jones, that rat bastard,
oh no,
has just put the Braves ahead 2-1 in the
God.
With a single to center, double to center,
that's
anyway.
Great.
Because that's what he does. He comes to Shea and he rips my freaking heart out. And it was a typical Chipper Jones little swing up the middle, and that's going to drive in the runners. I hate that rat bastard. Anyway, just voicing an opinion as I'm doing two things at once. So. Well, gotta do that. And Chipper Jones, by the way, an Anto from hell. If anyone sees him tonight in Flushing in the parking lot, just please tell him my thoughts. Just can't stand him.
Yeah, hey, I have a little.
That was a two-out double, by the way. Oh, here comes another guy, and that's gonna drop in and make it 3-1 Braves, as the Mets implode here in the sixth inning. What?
Oh boy!
Can't beat this team. Not with a stick and a vampire. We can't beat this team. And they just showed the final Willie coach just staring into the distance because he left the eco in too long. But that's my problem. That's the way it goes. Two outs. Two outs are up 1-0. Two hits, they're down 3-1.
Do you people hear what I have to put up with?
Yeah, everyone. Yeah.
Season.
It's just It's just so nauseating. It's just the same thing. Oh, wow, look at the Cyclops that just got a hit. There was an exo that just got a hit with two outs. He doesn't know what day it is. All right, so 8:48 when we get into SomaScope discussions here, because you know, Jeb's gone, so we can go a little lengthier here.
Before you do that, I have to put on my clip because I'm in the mood to hear it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I don't know how many of you have been watching Flight of the Conchords, but I tried not to like them, and I just like them. And this is a very exo conversation between two guys that are mad at each other. One guy was getting mugged, and the other guy ran away and left him there for dead. So here's their conversation.
You okay?
Yes.
You acting a little bit weird.
No, I'm not.
You are?
No, I'm not. This is what I'm like.
You annoyed?
No.
Because I had the last of your meals away?
No.
Because I took your camera phone?
No, it's not because they took the camera phone.
Because I rented your half of the apartment out to Rumor.
Does he have to stay here still?
Well, he's paid 2 weeks' rent. Because I didn't think you were coming back.
No, he's okay.
Is it because I ran away and we were being mugged and left you with guys with a knife?
Yes, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It plays in my head all day. is that EXO or what?
Yeah, it's just hilarious. I mean, yes and no, actually. Actually. they're the perfect one and zero for an Exo's language. They think that way. They live that way. They express themselves that way. Maybe does not ring a bell in the Exo lexicon. Maybe is for Ecos. They are yes or no. And by being yes or no all the time, they miss a lot of the fun about maybe. They hate paradox. They hate dilemma. They hate mystery. They can't stand it. That's why someone like Wilbur taking on the big fish of consciousness, which is just the most gray cloud in the world, and being into the things he's done to make this giant map, for who he is and the way he did it, you'll never see anything like it again, because he just doesn't have the flexibility in the way he's designed to do that from just his primary domain. So I don't know. We're kind of rounding things off a little bit tonight, because I wanted to get into some of the discussions of where we're going with this work. We've been doing the show for two and a half months now, and we're at that point now where we're getting ready for the fall. And I wanted to get a sentiment out there to get an understanding back, because we don't hear from you guys. I know you guys listen to the show, you archive the show, you listen to the show, but we want to get some comments, we want to get some dialogue going. So on the, like I mentioned before, on the somaspace.org site, we have the live question thing there. You can actually chat directly with Professor Val when she's in the air desk. And there's also a question, a comment section, and you can just shoot us any questions you got. I also want you guys to take a look at some of the things like the profiles that are on there too, to get you used to the domain language. That's all up there on somaspace.org. We're really getting to the point now where we're going to start putting out some products so that you guys can start learning this stuff on your own and use it in your everyday lives. Because to me, the technology's here. The need for it is so obvious. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the study last week about the obesity, depression, and some other things actually being socially transmitted, contagious. If you hang around friends that are overweight, you tend to gain weight. All these things that are making us seem much more biologically grounded than what we'd have to, we believe by the media. So you're told to individuate. You're instructed to do it, and you do it. You mold to that because, as a good little carbon-based organism, you're able to obey commands. But when you start to realize how much that stuff's influenced the way you're able to express yourself, then you got to start going back to the interior and start figuring out a different strategy. And that's what Universal Semantics is about, and that's what we're trying to get across each week by looking at people like a Wilbur, or last week's show we looked at Timothy Ferris. So, all right, so it's time to get to these somascopes, because we're getting close to the top of the hour. And let me just see one thing first. Okay, so next week we will be leaving the exo phase of the moon, and we're getting into the one that we just visited just a little while ago, the Philos. We're making a triumphant return next week. Now, that means we go from being suspicious and investigatory and sort of poking out against the world and saying, what's this, what's that, to vulnerability. And the world strikes back and makes us emotionally sensitive. Combined with the weather and just about everything else that's going on next week, it is a tread lightly week. Picture the sunburned back of an old man. The summer, this is the last lunar cycle of the summer, and that vulnerability. A lot of immune stuff next week. A lot of things going on with the histamines and allergies are going to start coming back. Ragweed season usually doesn't start till after Labor Day, but it gets its sort of push starting next week, because the vulnerability means coming back to the ground, coming back to the body. And so that means that all the things you've done, the partying, the traveling, the vacationing, all that stuff, is now going to start taking its toll. So the sensitivity is going to go up. And the fatigue level is going to go up next week. So it's more about conserving your energy physically so that you have it emotionally and you have it for for social interactions because the vulnerability factor is going to be there, which, of course, makes every XO frightened out of his mind. It's going to mean that you're not going to get support from the technology. You're going to have to rely on other people next week who are also going to be sensitive. So beware the Ontosaurus. They're right behind the Philos. Just give people that, you know, an XO is comfortable with 12 to 20 feet distance, and a Philo likes to be 0 to 1.5 feet. So this is a big pendulum swing from interpersonal distance, from going from 12 to 20 feet away from people to going to intimate spaces. So watch yourselves in the subways, watch yourselves on the beaches and things like that, and just give yourself that pregnant pause, because a lot of small talk is going to go on next week out of the vulnerability. People looking for help all over the place. So just let that happen. On the eco side of the coin, it's going to be kind of a tribal week, because it's almost like time to go in the treehouse if you're an eco, because sitting on the dock of the bay, that kind of a week. It's a very reflective week for an eco, because they're empathic to this vulnerability, but they don't necessarily have to feel vulnerable, but they can feel your pain. So the eco becomes sort of a sponge, or the slug in the fish tank, usually cleaning up the garbage of others emotionally, because that's what their role is to be sort of the emotional filter. So the eco has to sort of put himself where he's in a safe, or he or she is in a position where they can absorb the shock, but not necessarily get overwhelmed by it. So an eco has to be sort of tangential to the situation, where an exo is going to be totally removed from it, and the ontos and phylos will fight it out. So that's your somascopes for the week. With any questions with that, of course, just get back to us at somaspace.org, and I will toss it to Val for her quote of the week, and we'll wrap up.
All right. Well, we're wrapping up a little early.
I'm tired.
I am too. I have a song I can play, though. All right. Since it's EXO week and we were talking about technology, here's a quote from Carrie P. Snow. Technology is a queer thing. It brings you great gifts with one hand, and it stabs you in the back with the other.
Mm-hmm. Say that one again.
Okay. It is.
Stabs you in the back.
Technology is a queer thing. It brings you great gifts with one hand, and it stabs you in the back with the other.
I agree. As someone who's been burned by his own computer about 800 times, yeah. That is as exo a quote as you can get from the perspective of either the philo or the onto, who has to either dominate the technology or gets dominated by it. That's pretty cool. Doesn't leave the eco much room for wiggle room, though. I don't know what we're doing there. I think we're basically trying to avoid getting stabbed like usual. So.
Oh, yeah, always. Always. There's always that. You and I are both just burnt out, aren't we?
We sound as flat as doors, and it's good, because that's the week that was supposed to be flat. But, this show has always been a forum where we can play around, and I think being that it is XO week, and being that we're just so world weary of the obstacles we had to get over, there's two ecos, that secondary domain is going to show up, and it's going to, you can hear it in our voices. We want to reach you guys with this information. We've done a lot of work to get it out there. We I know if you're listening, if you made it through the whole hour, great. Without your feedback, without your participation, this stuff is available in there. It doesn't have as much life as when we get to interact with you. Because I guess that's really what we're saying. Hopefully we can get some more of a dialogue going next week, being a follow week. So if you have questions leading up to that week, be sure to email us or contact us through the web. And as always, we're available to you guys one way or the other. We got about 9 different tentacles out there. You can make a comment on the blog or get a hold of us on the new and improved somaspace.org through the AIM messenger. So.
That's right. And my EXO friend in Holland just chimed in and said she also agrees with that quote. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. So I guess we'll...
Shall we listen to a little something on the way out?
Yeah, why not? Go ahead. Play it out, and we will... before she does this, I'll just bid you guys goodbye for the week and travel light through the darkness. And Val, have at it.
Bye.
Where is it? Huh.
It's got a slow start, so we'll have to talk over it.
What the hell was this? Was it Spider?
No. Well, that'll wake us up.
I just need some rum to go on my Coke. Wow. Life just got much better.
Yes, actually.
Ah.
That's it. We're out of
the heat, guys. See you next week.